Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Easter is a day of hope in a season of hope. It's a reaffirmation of our belief, not just as Christians, but as Americans, that better days are always ahead of us.
These women that claim to be feminists are so upset with the Huffington Post for daring to publish a woman's opinion.
They should ask those people to report the news in a balanced and accurate fashion, the way they're supposed to, not under the doctrines of the Bible. Remember the doctrines of journalism.
It's all from this idea that God keeps his distance from us. And nothing could be further from the truth.
Hello. I want to say that foreigners with English as a second language also love issues, etc. Bye.
Now, this is not supposed to happen, at least within the borders of the United States. There has been in place for many years now a piece of legislation, actually amendments to some legislation, the Hyde Amendment, that has forbidden federal funding of abortion in the United States. It comes in handy, and we wait with bated breath to see it reaffirmed every year, but it has so far steadily held. Now, how is it then that the U.S. is able to take taxpayer dollars, federal funds, and advocate for abortion outside the United States? Did you know that that was happening? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Friday afternoon, April the 10th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Wendy Wright of the Center for Family and Human Rights Institute, CFAM, joins us here for the first few minutes. We're going to talk about U.S. funding of international abortion advocacy groups. A little bit later, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will join us. She's a senior editor at The Federalist. We'll talk with her about the media's abortion double standard. It's hardly a double standard. It's just a single standard, and one thing gets covered and everything else doesn't. Dr. Al Culver will join us. We'll talk about the defrocking of five confessional Lutheran pastors by the Church of Finland, which is a Lutheran church body, or at least ostensibly a Lutheran church body. Chris Roseboro joins us in hour two for our regular series with him this week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to look at some Easter sermons preached by evangelical pastors, and then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got five soundbites lined up for you. All you got to do is listen, and then you vote, and you get to pick which one is Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, and it's your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And our beloved on-demand listeners are always encouraged, whenever and wherever you listen, to use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. You can also vote in advance for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to talk about U.S. funding of the international abortion advocacy groups, Wendy Wright. She's vice president for the Center for Family and Human Rights Institute based in New York. Wendy, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be on.
How is it with the Hyde Amendment here in the U.S. that forbids federal funding for abortion, that money, not in small amounts, goes to non-governmental agencies outside the U.S. to advocate for abortion?
This is the tricky part of funding. Now, the law does not allow for directly paying for abortions. In fact, there's a second law, the Helms Amendment, that says we cannot, taxpayer dollars cannot be used to directly pay for abortions overseas. So the way this has kind of gotten around is by instead giving the money to groups that commit and promote abortion. Now, it can't go directly to pay for abortions, but as we know, money is fungible. So the money can go to pay for materials, information, overhead, salaries, and a variety of other things, which then frees up money to be used directly to pay for abortions.
And how did this happen? When did this begin? What's the track record of this?
Goodness, this has been going on for a long time, but it's been very difficult to track where tax dollars go. And so there were 70 congressmen who asked for an investigation. They requested the General Accountability Office, the GAO, to determine how much federal money is being given to six abortion advocacy groups, and they named the groups. Now, most of them are working domestically, and so Planned Parenthood is the largest beneficiary of our tax dollars. They get massive amounts of federal, state tax dollars every year. What we were interested at CFAM is how much is going to international advocacy, especially because we do have the Helms Law in place. This is a law that doesn't have to be renewed every year. It came into effect in 1973, and it is in place. No federal tax dollars going through for family planning internationally can pay for abortions. But it turns out that the International Planned Parenthood Federation, which is based in London, it's an umbrella group for about 152 affiliates around the world, which includes the U.S.-based Planned Parenthood Federation. And so USAID gave a chunk of money. That's our U.S. Arm, a federal agency that for international development. They gave a chunk of money to IPPF. Another group that got a large amount of money is Population Council, which has a long history in the population control movement, started decades ago, I should say a notorious history in the population control movement. Now one of their main focus is making abortion easy to get, mainly like in pill form, so that there's not medical oversight. If a woman ends up having complications, she's not likely to have any doctor that she can go to. And Population Council especially wants to make these easy-to-get abortions available to women in developing countries. So these are countries and regions where women don't have access to health clinics, to penicillin, to clean water. So when they have a complication, which could be taken care of if they were here in the United States, won't be able to be taken care of. So it's really making abortion even more dangerous for women who are even more vulnerable.
Who decides where this money goes, how it gets dispersed to these various groups?
Good question. It's really up to the bureaucrats. Now, the Congress has earmarked money, hundreds of millions of dollars every year that must go to international family planning. And so some of these groups will get the money through programs for family planning. They may be getting the money through other kinds of programs as well. It was to the congressman's surprise when they did a similar investigation a couple of years ago to try and find out how much money Planned Parenthood was getting domestically to discover that they were getting money even from the Department of Agriculture and other programs like Department of Defense, giving money to the largest abortion provider in the United States.
So what kind of money are we talking about? How much money have U.S. taxpayer dollars gone to these abortion advocacy groups, as far as we can tell, given how difficult it is to tease it all out?
Right. It is difficult. Now, we know that they get about $128 million just from USAID, and that's just for the two international advocacy groups, International Planned Parenthood Federation and Population Council. It's possible that those same groups are getting money through other agencies, U.S. agencies. It's just difficult to figure out. Now, here's another tricky part of funding. So the money will go directly to these groups. They can't use it to directly do abortions. However, these groups can turn around and donate or give money to other groups. So, for example, the Planned Parenthood domestically here in the United States, as well as the Guttmacher Institute, which is a research arm of Planned Parenthood, they both give money to a group called IPIS. IPIS has only one purpose, only one mission. They do only one thing, and that is to make abortion available in other countries. So in countries where, again, women don't have access to penicillin, to clean water, to doctors, to nurses, that's the target audience for IPIS. And IPIS will even draw up health manuals for national governments, and making the case that abortion must be available through their healthcare systems. And so that's why when you know the phrase follow the money, you really have to follow the money through several steps, not only from the taxpayers to which groups it's going to, but then what are those groups doing and who are they giving to? And then even third and fourth generation, what are those groups, third and fourth generation, doing?
I mean, if it weren't legal, that would be money laundering, right?
Right. Yes. It's so difficult to try and get our arms around where our money is going. But one thing that really should be true and sure, and that is that our tax dollars should not be going to groups that commit and promote abortion internationally. And, in fact, that often is the case. Under President Reagan, under both President Bushes, they signed executive orders. It's known as the Mexico City policy, that our federal tax dollars cannot go to international groups that promote or commit abortions. Well, under President Clinton and President Obama, they signed orders saying that our tax dollars can go to groups that commit and promote abortion. And my goodness, they are committing a lot of abortions and promoting it very aggressively internationally.
So what can be done about this other than have a president who's willing to issue an executive order during their term of office in order to prevent this? What can be done? Anything else?
Yes, well, Congress should pass a Mexico City policy. There have been attempts at it in the past, and of course we know that President Obama would not sign it, but congressmen should be hearing from their constituents even now so that they can be prepared for the day when we will have a president who would sign something like that to make sure that our tax dollars are not taking advantage of the most vulnerable, the most defenseless in other countries. And I just can't emphasize enough how very dangerous abortion is. Of course, it kills an innocent child. In every abortion kills an innocent child here in the United States or internationally. But it's even more gruesome when you consider that the women who are being targeted are those who have almost no say, and they're being taken advantage of, and they can suffer lifelong consequences from this.
Finally, do the American people know enough about this? I mean, it's good that our lawmakers seek to have this investigated, seek to stay on top of where this and try and track this money to its ultimate goals. But do you think the American people know enough about this particular loophole in taxpayer funding for abortion?
No, because it can seem so complex. People don't know. In fact, a lot of people are not even aware that Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider in the U.S., let alone has tentacles throughout the world. And so there's still a lot of education that needs to be done. But people should be aware of how their tax dollars are being used. And most Americans, even if they're in favor of abortion, they don't want to be paying for abortions, and they certainly don't want tax dollars being spent internationally to be paying for abortions overseas. And so this ought to be an easy step forward. But when we see things like Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz saying that she's in favor of even late-term abortion, I can see how difficult it can be to get congressmen to understand that we shouldn't be paying for abortions internationally. But that doesn't mean that we should give up, because certainly the other side never gives up. They continually work to get their hands on our money in order to be used to steal, kill, and destroy. As Jesus said, the enemy wants to do is steal, kill, and destroy. And so we should be doing what we can to ensure that our money is not being misappropriated and used for purposes like doing abortions overseas.
Before we let you go here, Wendy, tell us a little bit about your forthcoming trip to Nigeria.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you for asking. Yes, I leave on Sunday for Nigeria. There'll be a pro-life conference. We expect between 700 and 800 people to come. This will be in an area called Ibadan, which is on the opposite side of the country where Boko Haram is, thankfully. We intend to make sure that they're aware of this international attempt to force countries like Nigeria to make abortion available and sexual rights as well. The code phrase is sexual and reproductive health and rights. There's an attempt to convince countries that there's some kind of an international obligation to make abortion available and to have things such as same-sex marriage. Now, Nigerians are not in favor of either of those, but they don't necessarily know what is right, what is considered an international right and what is not. There is no international right to abortion, so we want to bolster them to stand up against this international pressure against their country.
Wendy Wright is Vice President of the Center for Family and Human Rights Institute, CFAM, based in New York. You'll find a link to CFAM at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Wendy, thank you and safe travels.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to stay on the subject of abortion, but in this case, the media's abortion double standard is highlighted in a recent press conference in New Hampshire, where presidential candidate Rand Paul was asked about exceptions for abortion, and he did something that, to my knowledge, no national-level politician has done with the press. He simply gave them a question to go ask the DNC and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the head of the DNC, about her views of abortion and protecting unborn life. We'll hear about that with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of The Federalist right after this.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado. Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.